Hey, this is Alan with Game Grooves, and I'm joined by some very special guests tonight, Lame Genie, who I'm going to let introduce themselves.
Hey guys, this is Lame Genie. This is Kyle from Lame Genie.
Hey, this is Jeff, also from Lame Genie.
Hey, this is Lame Genie. This is Mike from Lame Genie.
Wait, what band are you from, Mike?
Lame Genie.
Oh.
Metallica.
Lame Genie.
Vance Refrigeration.
Yeah,
what are you into? Can you go over your role in the band too?
Take it away, Jeff.
I'm Jeff. I play guitar, and that's about it.
No, I say everything. You do the MIDI.
I do the MIDI. I do the talking occasionally.
He tells me what to play.
I tell Mike what to play.
I'm Kyle, the drummer. I do the drums. I do machines, and I do the video editing for the YouTube. I do the audio mixing and recording, and the artwork, and that's about it.
So most things.
I was gonna say Kyle seems to be pulling the weight here. You know, carrying you all on his back.
well, just you wait, okay?
Just you wait.
Yeah. My name is Mike, and I play the bass. I do some of the video editing for the live background footage, sometimes for the music videos, not often though, and then also the gameplay in most of the things.
Okay, so that's an important job too.
Yeah, it's the most important.
Okay. So for anyone that's listening and doesn't already know Lame Genie, they're Rhode Island VGM, is that right? Is that the tagline?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
And they obviously make great video game covers on YouTube, but I was first introduced to Lame Genie VGM at MAGFest 20XX. I'm not going to remember which one. I think I've seen them 2 or 3 years in a row. But once I saw them, all it took was one time. I saw them once, and then I was hooked. I was fortunate enough to see them last MAGFest. They were phenomenal, as always. I'm pretty certain the first year that I saw you, you were on main stage.
Yeah.
Yep.
Whatever year that was. That might have been 2018 or 2019.
2019, baby.
Okay. So it's just.
Oh, yeah. That was a 2020 MAGFest. Holy shit.
Yeah.
It feels like it didn't even exist.
It's been a year.
I know.
It's been quite a year.
Anyways, I guess it was just 2019, but it feels like I've been watching you guys for longer than that. When did you start Lame Genie? I'm curious. How long have you all been performing?
Oh, coming up on 7.5 years right now.
Yeah, that's insane.
Okay. Okay. 7 year itch.
7 year itch.
Yep.
Why are you still doing it?
Whose move was that? Someone in Raven's flock. That was his move. 7 year itch. I forget who it was. No, it wasn't Raven.
Okay.
It was like Sick Boy or something.
And you guys still enjoy doing it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
100%. Yeah, I feel like we're more active now than we ever have been for some reason, even though we can't play anymore.
But by a long shot.
Yeah, yeah. We've been doing like one song or video for YouTube a week for the past like 3 months, maybe?
Yeah.
Maybe 4 months.
It feels like a lot more than that.
It does, because it's a lot of work. But, I mean, I think one of the good things that came out of the COVID thing is us really focusing in on doing online content, where before it was kind of just a secondary thing, and now we're like, maybe it's better this way. So
it drives our true nature.
It's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You had to do a little bit of a pivot. Live shows were kind of interrupted by a little thing called a pandemic.
Yeah,
I mean, a bunch of people are like getting sick and dying, but hey, we have more music videos now, so
yeah. There's the silver lining. That sounds terrible, but
pretty good.
No, but so
you
have you all been performing live for 7.5 years, or have you just been together as a band?
We actually like started off, we weren't even going to record albums. We just got together and played some songs and wanted to do a YouTube series.
Yeah.
Okay.
But then eventually we're like, you know what? Let's just do albums.
Right.
And then after X amount of years, we're like, actually fuck albums. Let's do YouTube videos again.
Yeah. I think we started with the idea to do YouTube, but we really didn't have like the video. Well, I guess we kind of had the video know-how, but we kind of just didn't know how to execute it at the point, you know?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'd say the execution was the big thing, because there was, like, the first four songs that we did. Later on, we did another four, but the footage came out so bad that it was just a complete waste of a day.
Yeah, we did everything live in the first four of our videos. We recorded everything live, and we thought that was a smart idea. turns out it wasn't. No, it was okay. It was okay.
Still. It was a lot of practice, mostly. Yeah.
But we did those four videos, and then we're like, maybe we should record an album, and then we started playing shows almost immediately. And we were playing without video footage for the shows, and then we realized how stupid that was, because we might not be playing to a video game audience all the time.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So people are like, what the hell are these guys playing? I don't even know this song. Unless we played like Mario, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay, so that's interesting. So live performances kind of grew out of YouTube, I guess, and YouTube.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think after we released
YouTube came first. Yeah. And then the live performances.
Yeah, yep. The last of the four videos that we did first, like, we played the show like a month later,
yep,
pretty much. A special halftime performance, which just means we play in the middle.
We did, yeah.
Okay.
And then I think we added video like very shortly after our first show.
March 2014.
Okay. Yeah, so, I mean, we played our first show and I was like, there was something wicked missing from that. And even my wife was like, yeah, it was good, but I didn't even know the songs. And she's like a huge gamer. So I was like, oh, there's something wrong with what we're doing here.
Yeah.
So I figured out how to do the sync up the video with the live, the tracks that we play. And then I think everything just kind of snowballed from there.
Okay. So you were saying until recently, you've predominantly looked at live performances as your main effort, and then YouTube and online stuff as secondary, but that those roles have kind of switched. So 2014 on, I'm kind of curious, what's that looked like for you? Mainly cons? Were you ever able to do like small tours, like East Coast, West Coast kind of things? Or what's the furthest you went or the most intense you went with it?
Dude, it's weird saying that, because now it feels like a century ago, like doing cons. But now that I think about it, we were doing cons constantly.
Yeah.
No pun intended.
I know. I think even in 2020, we had like our busiest convention season booked for the summer. And we were planning on doing a whole week with Night of the Round. And then we were going to meet up, like end it at another convention that we were both booked at. And then all of them got canceled. So... Yeah, from 2014, I think we started playing mostly local shows, and we played our first con in 2014, was it?
No, it was 2016.
2016.
The first PAX.
It was weird because we were so new to the scene, we didn't know that... I mean, we knew other bands existed that did video game covers, but we didn't know how deep the scene was at that point. Mm-hmm. So we were just playing local shows with, like, your... run-of-the-mill crappy metal band, and we weren't fitting on any of these bills, and we're like, this is strange and we don't know how to do this. And then we found conventions, and we found that they also have music at conventions, and we kind of went that route. Mm-hmm. Because we realized that's definitely our audience versus the Tuesday night at the dive bar down the street, you know.
Yeah, and before we did the conventions and we didn't know about all those other bands, we thought we were so smart.
Yeah.
Doing church metal shows, hell yeah. Yeah.
Hell yeah. No,
those are the best. Those are the best.
Dude, ones. Church metal shows go hard, always.
Oh my god, they were unbelievable. That was such an awesome time to be alive.
Yeah, mm-hmm. The church ones.
Yep.
I saw August Burns Red at a church, and it was like one of the craziest shows I've ever seen.
Were they August Burns Red at that point, or were they like pre-August Burns Red?
No, it was August Burns Red. It was like after their first album, so it was a good time.
Yeah.
Okay, awesome. So you kind of found your target audience, realized, hey, maybe we need to shift gears, and kind of went the more the con route. I'm kind of curious. So you said you weren't super aware of the VGM band scene until that point. After that, who were some of the artists that you kind of, I wouldn't say collaborated with, but became friends with or interacted with when you started doing the con circuit?
Well, I'd say the biggest one that we met first was The World is Square,
yep.
The acoustic square soft band up in Boston. we became okay. pretty good friends with them, and they just introduced us to people like around the country, and we're like, hey, this is it's like not everyone's not close together. It's just completely spread out.
Yeah, so and then we realized a lot of it is just centralized in like the Maryland area.
Yeah, because of MAGFest.
I was like, what the hell's going on here? But yeah, we played with, I think they asked us, or we put a something out online, and then they asked us to play their CD release show like on a Saturday afternoon in Boston or something.
Oh, yeah.
And then it was from there we kind of, we played a con with them a couple of years later, and then we met up again with them at MAGFest. And actually, no, BitGen was pretty big for us too.
That's Baltimore.
Yeah, we released a bunch of covers in a local, we filmed them in a local arcade. And the guy that puts on BitGen, John, saw the video, and he asked us to play BitGen. So when we went to BitGen, we met a ton of people from the scene there. And that's when we kind of realized how vast it is.
Yeah.
It was pretty like, it was really, really eye-opening to be involved in BitGen, I think.
Like, to be clear, though, we knew about, like, the advantage, mini-bosses... And all that, we just didn't know that it was like, oh, this is like a whole scene.
This is bigger than just the mini bosses and the advantage. You know?
Yeah. Which I realized at one point in my life, like for years, all I listened to was like rock versions of video game songs.
Yeah, me too. My whole college was the advantage. Pretty much that's all I listened to for like a whole year of college was the advantage. Not even realizing that I should probably look into this more than The Advantage. I just like The Advantage so much, I didn't really care.
You're like, this band is great. It's definitely the only one.
This is the last band I ever need. Thanks, bud.
There was one other one, the Konami Code.
The Konami Code,
up in Boston. They didn't. Yep. They like jammed over it a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Yes, jazz.
Yeah, so I mean, we all knew it existed earlier than Lame Genie, but I don't think we ever like put two and two together that it's actually a genre, you know?
Yeah, well, we didn't meet Jeff yet.
That's true.
So you guys are some huge nerds.
oh my god.
I'm just teasing. No, that's kind of interesting. I have a similar experience where I was following a few YouTube cover artists for maybe a year or two before realizing like, holy crap, there's a whole community. And for me, it was this artist named GM2995. I don't think he makes covers anymore, really. But he was on a charity album. Yeah. He was on a charity album, and it was like, holy crap, there's like 30 people on this album? I didn't know this many people made VGM. So,
You're like, it's so nice of these people to do one video game cover each. And that's it.
So... What would you say, and this is kind of, I kind of know the answer, I think. What would be your favorite experience from that time period, from 2014 until COVID? As far as playing live, like, was there like a penultimate show where you're like, wow, this is kind of like what we've been shooting for, or is that moment still yet to come?
I had a blast at the last MAGFest.
Me too, yeah.
That was
last
really
MAGFest
fun.
Was good.
I was going to say the main stage year we played MAGFest wasn't great for us because we had so many technical difficulties during the show that it almost spoiled it in a weird way, like as far as just the performance goes.
Right.
Yeah.
But the last MAGFest was wicked fun.
I remember something weird happened with it, but I really liked when we played with Max Sabbath and Galactic Empire.
Yep. That show was wild too.
Mm.
Okay.
We played one that I think that was probably the biggest venue like for metal bands in this area that we played with them, and the show was completely sold out.
Yeah, nice. For sure.
It was insane, but also I had technical difficulties that show too, so it kind of ruined it for me personally, but the guys didn't feel it, only I did. So
yeah, so I thought it was awesome. Kyle thought it sucked.
I left early. I was so bullshit the whole ride home.
That's the thing with playing live is technical difficulties.
Yep.
Yeah. You're going to have them. But I was going to say, since you mentioned last mag, first of all, do you remember the really tall guy with the gold mask that was in the mosh pit a lot? If you don't, that was me.
I'm sure we have you on a video somewhere.
Absolutely. Yeah, you do. I was just going to say, so here's the point where I kind of expose myself as a huge Lame Genie nerd.
Yeah.
Not so much that I have like this in-depth knowledge of the band, but you know, I was talking to some of my friends. I think maybe two or three of them had heard of you before. Actually, I got to do a shout out to my friend Project Genesis. He was the one that first introduced me to you. And then this past year, MechFest 2020, I was talking to some of my friends. I'm like, it doesn't matter if you know who these guys are. It doesn't even matter if you know the tracks. Like, somehow, Lame Genie has figured out how to take pretty much any video game metal, any video game track, turn it into metal, and still make it, like, accessible and enjoyable, which is not easy necessarily to do. Like, you walk a fine line between making it your own and keeping it close enough to the original. So I really think you guys do a good job of doing that. Also, building the crowd energy. Like, it was phenomenal being at that show last year and the one before.
Thank you. Yeah. It felt really good to play that show. And I think a lot of it was due to how receptive the crowd was, too.
Well, yeah. And you got to see us introduce our new character, Alex
Jones. I was going to say, there were some very good cameos. Did you guys, was the Zombies Ate My Neighbor people, were they friends of yours, or was that unplanned cosplay?
Well, they, funny enough, we met them at MAGFest 2018. They came up to us and were just talking to us about, like, hey, you guys should do a Zombies Ain't My Neighbors album. And we kind of laughed about it because Mike's been wanting to do a Zombies Ain't My Neighbors album for the past, like, 10 years, and we always shot him down. We're like, there's no way we can do those songs.
You can't. And then we, but you we did.
Offered up, yeah, we did. And then we offered up a Patreon reward where you can purchase songs, like, hey, you know, we'll cover any song you want type of thing. And these maniacs at MAGFest ended up pretty much funding the entire Zombies album, and it turns out that's like one of my favorite things that we've done.
Yeah,
it's like it was wicked fun, and I was like, wow, these guys are like the coolest dudes ever. So they were planning on coming to MAGFest dressed up as Zombies guys just so they can come to our set and do the Zombies stuff.
That was freaking amazing. I thought it was planned. I was like, wow, there's even more characters.
Yeah.
Dude, I was so stoked looking at them while we were playing it. Because we've never played that song live before.
Yeah, and that album was their album. Like, that album was completely for them. You know what I mean? So
that's so awesome.
They were really stoked about it. And I had them take pictures, and we put them in the album artwork and everything like that.
I just remember looking out like before, when I was in regular bands, I'd look out, and if people were moshing, I'd be like, this is great. But during the MAGFest performance, looking out and seeing someone pretend to kill people with a chainsaw was like such a hilarious feeling.
It wasn't even just people. It was everyone was in cosplay, because it was a cosplay.
Because it was
a
cosplay costume.
So he was killing other characters as the zombie chainsaw guy. Freaking insane.
And like, what the hell is going on? Yeah. This is crazy.
MAGFest, that's what's going
it's
on.
Just MAGFest.
And you mentioned Alex Jones, which... Isn't that his name? Isn't that the joke that... That's really his name, or no? Is that just the character?
No.
Okay.
So we have BT Jones.
And oh, okay. Okay.
I thought, like, a few years ago, I'm like, you know, it'd be funny if he had a brother named Alex Jones and blah blah blah. And I just had this idea, but then all of a sudden, like, MAGFest is coming up, and we know this dude Brian, who's just a wild, ridiculous animal of a person. Mm-hmm. And we're like, how about we just have him play as Alex Jones? And he coincidentally can do a great Alex Jones impression.
He does, yeah.
So he just wrote this, like, wrestling promo type thing.
I was going to say, it felt very wrestling.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Well, I was like, Brian, go into a studio and just, you know, just be Alex Jones, but about video games. And that's all I told him. And he gave me back this, like, 10-minute rant of just like Alex Jones-esque video game stuff, and it was like amazing.
And the console wars conspiracy.
The console
and,
wars
like...
conspiracy. I was like, this is the best dude ever.
Yeah, I listened to that whole recording of him just doing takes while I was working out, so it was super funny.
Just yelling at you.
Yeah,
I don't think I've ever heard it. Can you send that to me?
Yeah.
Actually, can I hear that? I really want to hear that too.
Yeah. It's going to be a Patreon here soon.
Okay.
That kind of, no, but that was phenomenal. For those that don't know, there was that character Alex Jones on stage, like in between songs and sets, just antagonizing the crowd and just being a general douche, and it was great. It felt very much like a heel at a, you know, wrestling event. So
yeah,
I don't know.
Everyone boom and everything.
Yeah, he really got us over.
Oh, we also had these really shitty T-shirts that we printed a couple years ago that we wanted to get rid of once and for all. So we had him throw them out into the crowd too. So.
Good times. Actually, I have one of your non-shitty t-shirts. It's one of my favorite ones. The one where you're all like 2 or 8-bit characters jumping in. I don't know. It just says Rhode Island BGM. But point is, MAGFest, you all, when MAGFest returns, I don't want to say what year it will. If you're going to MAGFest and Lame Genie's playing, you definitely should check them out. I know, I can guarantee that you're going to have a good time. And like I said, I know about half the songs that y'all play. Another half I still enjoy just as much. So, awesome. Yeah, again, I'm really, really impressed with the fact that you managed to make, you know, that's kind of one of the things I talk with a lot of video game cover artists about, is the ability to make arrangements that feel enough like they're your own arrangement that even if someone's not familiar with the source material, they're still able to enjoy it. Like, that's a big deal. So, congrats. You did it. Yay.
Thank you.
You can retire now. Yeah, don't have to do anymore.
Well, I think one of the main reasons that we're able to do that is because we don't try and go too metal with anything, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, it's a mix between like just really hard rock and just big sounds, you know?
Big rock sound. That makes it difficult to like, it makes it difficult to label our videos though. Because it's like, oh, do we put metal cover?
We're not really metal, but we're heavier.
Have you had people complaining that you're not metal enough? I'm sure you have. Have you had any commenters with like, actually, this is closer to alternative hard rock than metal?
We messed up the lyrics to Fall Guys. I think that was the most they let us know about it.
Yeah. Comments have been pretty good. As far
how
as
do you mess up the lyrics? Like, I thought they were just made up.
I thought so too. Apparently, they're not.
I think it's Portuguese, and the real lyrics translated are like, "Here come the motherfuckers" or something like that. But it's just kind of like nonsense the way we did it.
Oh, Lacey's fault.
I was gonna. Yeah, I was gonna say fired. That's Lacey's fault. That's not on Lacey. You guys. She covered the lyrics.
Yeah, she's fired.
Yeah, she is. She is. I interviewed her couple weeks ago, and she's
nice.
BGM, what I call her, the collab queen of BGM. She's like doing all the collabs. We'll get to that next. I just wanted to say you all have a live presence that I don't think many bands have, BGM or otherwise, truthfully. So, yeah. Let's move on now that we've stroked your ego enough about MAGFest and how great you are live. Let's move on to your latest phase of your career. Your midlife crisis, aka YouTube, <I'm just kidding. laughs> aka Corona shuts everything down. Yeah, I definitely noticed an uptick in your videos, your upload schedules, and I would honestly say the quality for sure. I mean, what's interesting is that you managed to retain like that live performance feeling, right? Of the, you know, the stage lighting and the smoke effects and, you know, the exaggerated playing. And you've somehow conveyed that through video, which is not super easy to do. So, what's your work process like? I know that you all were recording before this interview and then I took over your night. So how long does it typically take to like come together and shoot something?
Well, the way we've been doing it is like, we have like, before we started focusing mainly on YouTube, we had like 150 songs in the bag, like ready to go that we had recorded on albums that we've never done videos for. So our process is like, we'll record a song, pretty much we get together once a week to record. I can pretty much have it mixed in a week. And then at the end of the month, we get together one day and shoot 4 videos. So that way we'll have 4 videos to release for the month. And then that's kind of been the whole process. We'll if we can't make a new video or a new recording in time, we'll use an old song and just re-record it. And we can all record at our house individually.
Yeah, that was the biggest thing with the pandemic was we used to have to come here to Kyle's house to record. And then I think that Jeff was the first one that started doing it at his, and then just kind of sending it off to Kyle. Before that, we were just kind of, and then I do it at my house now as well, but we used to have to come here, so that would just take time.
Yeah, so I think once we started focusing on like 1 video a month, I would structure the songs out on drums first. So I'd put the cover in, do all the drums, write a ton of notes in my project, and I'd send it to Jeff and be like, hey, put some guitar on this. And then since we've been doing it for so long, we kind of know how we would normally play parts. So it was a wicked easy transition to just tell Jeff, like, hey, there's a ton of notes in this song, have at it. And then he'd put down guitar, he'd send it back to me, I'd edit it all, send it to Mike and be like, bass time, you know, Mike would do bass. And doing it at home, I think, really, really sped everything up, you know?
Half of the notes that he puts in just says, hey, for this part, do the thing.
Yeah.
And it's just like, all right, I know what to do here.
Yeah, so yeah, but that's...
Go ahead.
No, sorry, go ahead. Yeah.
We still record a lot here, too, at my studio. But most of it's done remotely at this point. And then as far as the videos go, we just take one day... do all the videos. I program lights for all the songs we have to do, and then fill the room up with smoke, yeah. Do a bunch of performances of the video, and then, you know, it's edited by Monday the next day.
Set off the smoke alarm.
I was going to say, go on about the smoke. How exactly do you fill up the room with smoke? Or should we not say that on the podcast? A lot of weed.
No, we bought this really cheap smoke machine, and then we, you know, put the... curtains up and
you do the thing. Yeah,
we do the thing.
We have curtains now.
That's nice. I think that's the motto of the band. You know, just do the thing.
Yeah. It's like Nike.
I like it. That's awesome though. So it seems like you've really streamlined your work process and you're at a point where you're comfortable just trusting each other to be like, hey, I know this person could do what they need to with minimal input and guidance, and you all kind of just rely on each other to do that. To do the thing.
That's like the main reason why it's a three-piece, okay. Too.
Yeah.
If we threw anyone else in there, might all honestly like kind of clog it up or something.
Fall apart, bottleneck. I think we wanted four people. Well, I shouldn't say that. Mike wanted four people, maybe even five. And me and Jeff were like, you know, that's not the best idea just for scheduling purposes alone. So yeah. we never did it, and that's the best decision we ever made.
Right. Yeah, I'm fine with it just being... me on guitar and then tracks.
Yeah.
Because we're I like to consider ourselves to be the Milli Vanilli of video game cover bands.
Yeah. Well, then you also get to collaborate with cool people like Lacey Johnson. So you can always collaborate with a vocalist.
Yep.
And then blame them if they don't transcribe the audio correctly. Yeah, so there you
just
go.
Like Lacey.
Yeah.
Plausible deniability.
Lacey, I hope you're listening, which you probably aren't because you're working on stuff constantly.
Yeah, I know, right?
Well, yeah, she might be working on something for me. Well. Who knows?
Oh.
Yeah.
Spilling the beans.
Yeah. No, I can't. But you might know what she's working on.
Yeah, I do.
You do?
Yeah, you
do.
So
do you.
So
we have a lot on our plate. So...
No, I know. You guys kind of, you seem to be obviously being able to do a cover a week is not a small task, especially with the, like I said, with the quality of videos that you all are doing. But that's interesting that you like I said, you kind of do all the videos at once. You don't do them live anymore? I'm surprised at that.
Yeah.
It didn't work out?
No, you know.
Yeah, weird.
I think we just got stupid over the ages and we just, you know. Live music sounds so much better.
Yeah,
it's like achieving intelligence by being stupid.
Yeah, I remember like when we used to record the videos, just coming in all nervous, being like, okay, I have to nail every note.
Yeah.
And then like my performance, I'm just like doing guitar face.
Yeah.
Where I'm just like, my face is
You're
all scrunched up.
Yeah.
And I'm just really uncomfortable. The last one we did like that, though, has the most views out of any video
is
I've ever
Marks?
Done.
Yeah.
Wait, what is the last video that you... So you... When was the last video that you did live? Like, recorded everything live?
Actually.
Marks, yeah.
Yeah.
What would we consider the Zelda medley? Because we...
Holy crap, we did that live.
Yeah, well, we did that like 2 months ago.
Yeah, and that's 10 minutes long. Yeah, we just recorded a live video of our Zelda medley like 2 months ago when we played it completely live.
Well, that's the thing. It wasn't technically live. We weren't all there. We all took it at our houses.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay.
Yeah, obviously, like, besides like the...
So you cheated.
We cheated.
So bad, dude.
Obviously... Hey, the Milli Vanilli of video game covers.
There you go.
But obviously, besides like the virtual cons, like we obviously did that.
Yeah, we've been playing a ton of virtual shows in the past.
Yeah, I was gonna say, didn't you do virtual on Gaku recently?
Yep, we did that. Okay. We did virtual VGM Fests 4, I think.
Okay.
And we did. And then we did the League of Conventions festival that they had not too long ago.
Mm-hmm. Okay, very nice. And how do you find that? Compared to, like, obviously it's not going to be the same as performing, like, live in front of a crowd, but does it scratch the same itch at all?
Well, I think the last live performance we did might have been that Magfest one. So I don't know.
No, it's Ungtanku.
No, live.
Yeah, it was Magfest.
What do you mean?
How would you compare the virtual live people there?
Yes.
Was it friends and fans?
Yeah, so it's hard to match that because that was just super fun.
Yeah.
But
right.
It's weird doing the virtual fests because it's like you know that people are watching you, but we don't have like a chat window up or anything. So we get like next to no feedback on if we're even coming through smoothly to the stream.
Yeah, and all right. all the
just gotta guess, you know?
All the jokes are duds
because
there's no one there to say anything.
All of our in-between jokes in our sets and everything. It's wicked strange. And I almost feel like I zone out like halfway through because
it feels
like practice, you know?
It sounds like you need maybe Alex Jones to be the moderator.
Oh my God.
And to engage with the crowd while you're performing.
That's an amazing
And to just harass people while you're playing.
All right, I'm gonna text Brian and ask him to jump in chat as Alex Jones for the next show.
Dude, that would be amazing.
Yeah, that's a great idea. I'm not even
all right.
Right now.
But on the plus side, a lot of times when we play live at conventions, our setup time just takes longer than it should.
Yeah.
But could we always have new lights?
We always have new lights and stuff. So here we get to set it up all day.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then anxiously wait to play live.
Yeah.
I mean, lights are important.
The last 8 shows that we played were us like trying out something new for the first time each time.
Yep.
Yeah, and it usually culminates with, "Hey, you guys have 2 more minutes. This is a cosplay competition coming on, so we just have to end early."
Every show ever, pretty much.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, I think that's a great kind of summary of the band, where you guys have been, what you've been doing. Also, got to do a shout out to BT Jones. That is simultaneously one of the dumbest characters I've ever seen, but also one of the best. So,
oh, thank you.
Credit where credit's due.
We did it. He's an
anti-hero. And lastly, I wanted to ask, who are some folks in the VGM scene, both on YouTube or live or whatever, whomever you find inspiring. Whoever you aspire to be like, and any soundtracks that you're enjoying right now.
Night of the Round.
Yeah,
they're great. Super Madness
is always great. I hope they, when shows come back, that we can do some stuff with them. And yeah,
Kirby's Dream Band. Like, it'd be really nice to be on the West Coast one of these days.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, again, there's just so many to mention.
And as far as who I want to be like Little V so bad.
Yeah.
Dude's just killing it on YouTube all the time. He can upload anything and he's gonna get like 100 views in less than an hour. So I mean 100,000 rather.
I want to be like K-Mac 2021.
Yeah, K-Mac. Well, in order to be like Little V, you gotta grow a pretty gnarly beard.
Yeah.
You gotta look like Julian from Trailer Park Boys.
Yes. Holy crap. I totally didn't connect that until just
Dude, I made a meme and I sent it to him. It was just Julian. It just said Little V. He never responded.
Yep. No, it's accurate. Also, he's a nice guy. But yeah, he can't just throw out whatever idea he wants. And it's just like, okay, this will work.
It's gold, yeah. He can really, it almost seems like he's been able to do no wrong in the past like year. So
he shits gold.
Yep,
he does shit gold.
Yep.
Soundtracks. What are you, I know you're enjoying Fall Guys because you did a couple of covers, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Have you checked out?
What is that?
I said one soundtrack, not metal at all. I'm just going to rep it because I love it. Eichenfell. Y'all should check that soundtrack out.
Yeah, I just
super
saw
catchy,
posted
cute.
An Eichenfell cover too. And I was like, I don't even
Yes,
know
he did.
Is, so.
Yes, he yep. did. In fact, I have a little quickfire cover contest going on right now with prizes. So check it out. But yeah, what? Sorry, I cut you off. What soundtracks besides Fall Guys are you into?
I've been listening to Hades pretty much from the back for the past like two weeks. Because I first heard it, our friend suggested it to us, and I never heard of the game. And I started listening to the soundtrack, and I was like, this is the most interesting video game music I've heard in a long time. It's so good.
It's also a good but frustrating game.
Is it really? I haven't played it yet.
So. Yes, it is.
Well, one that's kind of funny is people tell us to cover stuff from Doom. which is a great soundtrack, but there's no way we could match the production.
No, yeah,
because it's just so hard.
We can't make it any better than it is, so it's not even point in doing it. You know, I don't even want to touch it.
Yeah, so that's a nasty soundtrack. We should do like a banjo cover album of Doom.
Well, it's kind of like Banjo Guy Ali has said many times before. He's not doing the banjo soundtrack because it's like it's banjo main instrument. Why am I gonna? Yeah. It's like, but I know what you mean. Like
I collabed with we met Banjo at what was that convention?
I don't know. It might have been PAX.
No, it was 2016. Was that
Retro World Expo?
Retro World Expo. We met him, and then a couple of years down the line, he asked me to lay down some drums for the Pictionary main theme cover. So I collabed with him a long time ago.
Nice.
He's such a nice guy.
Yeah, he's like a freaking Renaissance man of EGM. That dude really surfs, builds like arcades, does woodwork, has every instrument known to man. Yeah.
And he's good at every instrument he's got. So it's great.
Oh, yeah. One last thing I wanted to mention that I kind of forgot in the moment. I wanted to pass this on. I know I sent this to you in an email, but even though you have had, it's hard, you can't like, what do you call it, distribute the Zombies Ate My Neighbors because we can't find the freaking rights holders for that. I'm still working on it. The original composer did check out your album and really loved it. So you have that. You have his blessing, approval,
that. Awesome.
And...
What's that?
What's his name? Something McDermott, right?
He's a children's songwriter now. And he's What the hell's his name? Oh, my God.
Zach McDermott? Joe? Is that right?
It's Joe McDermott.
Joe McDermott. That's right. Yep. That's right. So that's awesome. I just wanted to pass that on.
That makes me wicked happy.
Yeah. Those are my favorite moments when you have like the composers and fans kind of connecting. I know Grant Kirkhope's like really good at like sharing stuff online. I want to see more of that. I want to see more BGM love.
Fall Guys. When we put Fall Guys out, both composers shared it and the game shared it, and I was like, that's the coolest thing that's ever happened to me.
Yukio, I don't know how to say his name. I butcher pronunciations, but he's like a sweet dude. He also is putting out a solo album. Also, season 2 music, dude. I specifically asked him that in my interview. I was like, are you guys composing more music? They're like, that would be fun. I was like, you SOBs, you didn't tell me. No, I'm just kidding. NDAs, I'm sure. But I'm happy for more Fall Guys music. So I'm expecting more Fall Guys covers for the medieval theme. Then you guys can dress up as knights and whatnot.
That's fine. We'll do it.
Yeah, well, see?
You know, we say that so often, and then we become like 8 songs deep, and we're like, oh my God, what have we done?
Yeah, what is the going rate for Patreon-supported albums? Like, if I just paid you $1,000, would you do like a Sonic Adventure 2 album and dress up
about
as...
8 songs, right?
Yeah, get you about 8 songs, but we need like guest vocals.
That's true.
Yeah. Okay.
So okay. Fair enough. We can find someone, pay them nothing.
Cool. Give us money, please. Thanks.
Yeah.
Well, that's just about all the time that I have. Thank you all so much for coming on. Do you have any final words for fans or enemies?
Do the thing.
Fuck you. That's for the fans.
For fans, naturally, check us out on YouTube, Bandcamp, Patreon, wink wink. And for our enemies, I spit on your grave.
Yeah, I love that movie. We also just started a Discord maybe last month, and it's pretty active in there. So I know Jeff and Mike are in there constantly. So join the Discord.
Cool.
Say this is on my social media. We'll send you the link.
Yeah.
Did you see me wink?
No, I can't see you wink.
I can't see winks.
Can you hear winks?
All right. Yes. Yes, I can.
Disgusting wink.
Oh my God. And that's going to be all the time we have. Thank you guys.